Kendall. Okay, let's shift gears a bit, and we're going to look at how irrigation impacts carbon sequestration. I guess you have heard a number of speakers talking about drip irrigation, central pivot irrigation, trickle irrigation. I mean, they're just great, and I also learned a lot because I'm a soil scientist, so you won't learn from me about irrigation systems. And what I've done is I've looked at carbon concentration in fields that received different amounts of irrigation water in western Kansas. So I would like to acknowledge some of my colleagues that established this experiment, Dr. Clarke, Schlegel, and Dr. Stone, who are part of this project in western Kansas. I guess we all know that the full irrigation will increase carbon sequestration. It's because we're going to produce more biomass. So some data there indicating that we can increase carbon concentration in soil by irrigation by how much? 10 to 50% depending on the soil and the amount of irrigation. But we also need to look at these two mechanisms. First, irrigation increases biomass production. Therefore, the increase in biomass production will obviously result in greater concentration of carbon. But at the same time, irrigation may reduce carbon sequestration. Why is that? Because the addition of water will directly increase soil water content, and which will accelerate probably the decomposition of what? Organic matter. So there has to be a balance there, gains and losses. Then we can look at the carbon budget under different irrigation systems. And obviously, you know, there are a number of reports on comparing rain-fed and irrigated systems, like two systems. So they have found some small or even, you know, negligible differences in carbon sequestration. But in this study, we have looked at the impacts of deficit irrigation, which I will talk more about that later. Deficit irrigation. You know, I heard Dr. Daniel Hill yesterday morning when he was talking about in one of the symposiums about the relationship between water resources and carbon sequestration and global climate change and so on. Now, we are well aware that water resources are becoming more and more scarce around the world, and deficit or limited irrigation is going to become probably more common in the near future. So in the Great Plains, the Central Great Plains in Kansas, Colorado, and some parts of western United States, there is a concern about this Ogallala Aquifer. The water levels are dropping, and that it's encouraging farmers to apply and use deficit irrigation so we can reduce excessive water application in croplands. So this is the question that led us to do this work. So what are the impacts of deficit irrigation on carbon sequestration and some soil properties? I'm not talking about the full irrigation, because we have different levels of irrigation in this experiment. So what we did is we looked at organic and inorganic carbon and some soil physical properties in two experiments in western Kansas. This is the map of Kansas. We have this Tribune, it's one of the experiments located there, another one's in Garden City. And the site at Tribune, here you can see this is the linear move irrigation system. Tribune, Kansas, an 8-year experiment. The crop rotation is sunflower, grain sorghum, soybean, corn. And the one in Garden City is 5-year experiment. They're relatively medium-term experiments. And you can see wheat, grain sorghum, sunflower, corn, both of them are under no-till management, no-till soils that receive different amounts of water. These experiments are well randomized. They have the 4 replications. And if you have specific questions about the plot layout, I'm not the right person probably to answer the questions because I haven't designed this experiment. But if you have further interest, you know, I can sent you probably the files and all the details about the plot layout, but they're randomized here. It's just an example that's showing the water levels. Like in this site, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different levels of irrigation. So, and it shows also the different cropping systems and the lateral move irrigation system there. So this is the 2 linear move sprinkler irrigation system, 8-year experiment again at Garden City, and 5 at the Tribune. 6 irrigation levels in Garden City, 66 through 270 millimeters per year. So this is an average across 5 years, because the amount of water applied each year depended on the evapotranspiration, the amount of natural rainfall at this site. But at Garden City, there are 3 levels only. These were constant across all the years. And we collected samples from different soil depths. This was done in the spring 2009, this past spring. Here is the data. For organic carbon concentration, these units in the surface, 0 to 2 inches, the amount of carbon concentration increases with the amount of irrigation water, with an increase in the amount of irrigation water. But that's only in the near surface. The red points indicate significant differences. There were no differences between 2 and 4 inches. Obviously, there's a trend there, but there's high variability. And there is nothing below 2 inches. What about here? It seems that, yeah, the first layer, again, it seems that the carbon concentration tends to increase with the irrigation amount. But these are not different. But here was, we found out that the differences were significant between this level of water, like about 127 against the intermediate level. And but the differences were just mostly confined to the near surface layers. Obviously, these are short-term, I would call probably short-term experiments, at 8 year and 5 year, especially in this region, you need to have a longer experiments in order to see differences. But there is a trend and increase in carbon concentration for the amount of irrigation water. This carbon pool in megagrams per hectare, look at this again. Differences are significant mainly between the lowest amount of water and the highest. Significantly different. And then the same thing, this layer between 2 to 4 inches. So there were differences in carbon concentration in terms of megagrams per hectare between 0 and 10 centimeters, or 0 to 4 inches. And what about the Tribune? And there is nothing to write home about. No differences, high variability. But there is a trend there, yeah. Plots receiving lower amounts of water tended to have lower concentration of carbon, but there's high variability there. Again, in terms of megagrams per hectare, little differences in carbon concentration here, or not statistical differences, but at Garden City, there were differences in carbon pool near the surface. Again, so if we looked at the data, at Garden City, look at that, soil organic carbon pool increased by about 45% from what? From 66 millimeters of water per year to 277 millimeters per year in the 0 to 4 inches. So that's the average. I'm talking about this section at Garden City. At Tribune, in terms of, in these units, in grams per kilogram, there were some differences. But the pool, it says megagrams per hectare, which is affected by soil bulk density, there were no differences. But we also looked at this, basic soil properties, bulk density, soil texture, inorganic carbon, which were not affected by irrigation levels. Okay, one more property, soil aggregate stability. Very little difference in aggregate stability at Tribune, no significant differences. But at Tribune, at Garden City, no significant differences due to irrigation. What about the Tribune? There were significant differences, but where? From zero, there were no differences from 0 to 2 inches, but there were differences from 2 to 4 inches, or 5 to 10 centimeters. Aggregate stability, which is critical for water erosion, increased with the amount of water added. And also, obviously, the amount of macro aggregates increased with the amount of water applied. And look at this relationship. We looked at the relationship between aggregate stability, the size of aggregates, and organic carbon, and there is a nice relationship there. And this, in my world, this R square is quite positive, because we don't get a linear relationship of 1. It would be, or even, 1, which means 100%. So this is like 44% of the variability in aggregate stability is explained by changes in carbon concentration. So there was that significant relationship at Garden City, but not at Tribune. Okay, I guess the last two or three slides. Well, irrigation is increasing, obviously, biomass production. That's well known. And therefore, increased biomass production will result in greater organic carbon concentration. And this is like, this field is receiving, or this plot is receiving 66 millimeters of irrigation water, and this one is receiving 217. This is the lowest and the highest. You can see clearly the surface residue cover. But there is one thing that I want to share with you, and that you are well aware of this, obviously, the spatial variability. These are large plots. I show them a plot layout. It's not like 10 by 10 feet plot. These are relatively large plots. Look at this. If a researcher, if you send a grad student, someone, and to collect soil samples, what about that person collects soil samples right from there? Or for some reason, he or she goes and collects a sample from this spot. And that's what we noticed. I was collecting actual samples by myself with the help of some technicians, and we had to collect a bunch of samples, and there's a high variability, and that is a nice topic of study for the future, the spatial and including temporal variability and carbon concentration in these irrigated fields. Okay, this is the last slide. So what did we learn from this short presentation is that soil organic carbon concentration increases with increase in the amount of water applied. So why is that new? Well, I guess we all know that. Thing is, in this study, we're looking at deficit irrigation or limited irrigation. You know, if you reduce the amount of water that you apply in your field, you might reduce carbon sequestration. Is that right? But still, even you reduce like limited irrigation to, like I mentioned, the 66 millimeter per hour, you are applying more water than in rain-fed conditions. So you are still sequestering more carbon. In this experiment, and you know, we didn't have this rain-fed treatment. It would have been better if we had like a rain-fed treatment without irrigation, so we could have compared limited irrigation against zero irrigation of rain-fed conditions. And another finding is that aggregate stability increased with the amount of water applied, and I guess that's due to increased organic carbon content. Well, finally, changes in irrigation strategy. You know, if you change irrigation strategy, you know, through limited or deficit irrigation, you will change organic carbon concentration. And this this study, you know, five to eight year old experiments showed that, and also you will affect soil structural development, aggregate stability in this case. But that we cannot generalize that. It depends on the soil, in this case, on the site-specific conditions. With that, well, thank you. And if you have any questions, you can answer.
Are there any questions from Mr. Blanco? I guess I have a question. Okay. You were talking about sampling with the spatial variability because mm-hmm. of the cover, and obviously it's not even just cover. I mean, there's soil variability and a lot of different things going on. What would you suggest to do to take care of that besides just having more samples? I mean, is there a strategy that you use to...
Yeah, randomization, and we can calculate based on the variability. You know, we can calculate the amount of samples that we'll take per plot. So, just basically what we have been using, like a zigzag pattern, sampling in a zigzag pattern, and try to collect the.
So you like random better than systematic?
Exactly. Yeah. That's okay. What we've been doing.
It's, great. Yeah. Are there any other questions?
I had a question. The lowest irrigation amounts, were they? I know it sounds like you're calculating based on evapotranspiration, trying to figure out what was the amount to apply.
Uh-huh.
But it did impact the biomass. So, I mean, is that Is that as low as you would like recommend a grower to go in that region as far as pulling back?
Thanks. So yeah, my colleagues, Dr. Clarke and Sheila, this and Guard and Tribune, the three levels were constant every year. But the Tribune, they changed based on evapotranspiration and the natural precipitation. So that was based. It's just. The objective of this project is that Garden City, for example, is to develop the most economical, you know, system for producers. So I guess that's what Dr. Clark is trying to do that. So I hooked up with him in terms of looking at the changes in carbon and soil properties. So,
thank you.
If there are no more questions, I'd like to give a hand to all of our speakers. I know some of them left, but thank you very much for your contributions.